Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 74 of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. Now, my favorite episodes are those in which we get to interview phys ed teachers out there in the wild doing good things. And it's my absolute pleasure to welcome to the show Ben Landers. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's a welcome. Like, it's definitely someone that I've followed very intently over the last couple of years since we met in North Carolina. When was that? Like August in 2015?
That was 2015. Yeah, man, that was really, really cool.
Yeah, it definitely was for the National PE Institute. And since then, been following along intently with the things that you've been doing online, and was really excited to be able to get you onto the episode. So are you teaching in North Carolina or South Carolina, or whereabouts are you in this part of the world?
Yeah, I'm in South Carolina, so I'm about 3 hours from where we were at that conference.
Okay, cool. And what sort of school are you involved in?
The school I'm at is called River Springs Elementary. It's a 4K through 5th grade elementary school with 650 kids. Mm-hmm. And they come through PE about once a week, depending on the grade level. There's like a few little weird schedule things, but pretty much everybody gets PE once a week.
Yeah, and you can imagine the enthusiasm they get when they finally get into that room. Is it the case?
Yeah, man, they're pumped. They're like ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. So a big part of your like strategy has been on, and I've seen a lot of your content around the management of those students, you know, and when they roll in, and you produce this amazing webinar for Connected PE called the Phys Ed Hacks. Do you want to just talk about what you did there?
Sure, man. I actually kind of designed that session for ESPE chat, which is the elementary school Twitter chat. And they do like an online summit similar to Phys Edagogy. And that was the first time I ever did it. And I didn't really know what to do. I didn't have anything planned. I was like, I'll just kind of tell people everything that I do that I feel like kind of helps me run a successful phys ed program. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of go over all the like strategies and like mindset things, and then little systems that I have in place to save time and help kids take responsibility for their learning in class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the big things that came out of that I remember people were talking about in the Connected PE session where you repeated it was the conflict corner idea, which you'd sort of taken from, you know, I think Joey Fyth, and repurpose for your own needs. Do you want to explain how that works?
Yeah, man, that's so I got that idea from JD Hughes. Okay. He was at a conference and he had this thing called the Work It Out Corner.
Right.
And then I was like, man, that sounds like a really cool idea. And I just watched this TED talk on body language. And so basically I just kind of added these two concepts together and made a poster. And the idea is anytime kids have a problem, before they come and talk to me about it, they have to go try to resolve it on their own.
Perfect.
And they just go over to the corner, the conflict corner, and then they go through the steps of conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really, really, really helpful for me because as an elementary teacher, you're just dealing with so much tattletaling.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little filter to kind of help filter out the problems that aren't really a big deal.
Yeah.
And Joey redesigned it and put it up on his website as well, which is really cool.
Excellent. Yeah, and it was just a brilliant eye-opening example of a framework that really sort of brought about a massive result, because you're right, most of those things that we tend to react to aren't that important. They might seem important for the kids, but they can work them out with a cool framework. So I thought it was brilliant. So, I mean, obviously you've got this keen interest in our profession. Where did that grow for you? Like, where did you end up in the phys ed classroom? Was it always something that you had in mind, or it just came later in life?
I kind of fell into it in college. I always enjoyed PE class as a kid, but I went into school as a business major just because my mind is kind of bent that way. And after like one semester of college, just decided that it was just mostly common sense. Like, I felt like I was just wasting my money. Like, I was like, I can just go start a business without knowing and taking all these classes. So I kind of wanted to find something that would actually require a degree to do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you get a business degree, that's great, but, like, you don't really need it to start a business.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about what are some things that actually you have to have the certification to do this job. And then I just started looking around. And my original idea with the business degree was to start like an ecotourism type business where I would take backpacking trips and like surfing lessons and that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
like the teaching side of business. But not, I never really considered being a teacher until I switched my major and started looking around, and there was no like adventure education type degrees available where I was, and PE was kind of the closest thing. And then I just took a couple classes, and when I got into the schools and started hanging out with the kids, I was like, oh man, this is where it's at. This is awesome.
That's crazy.
So I just fell into it and really fell in love with it.
There's just so many different paths to get to education, really, isn't there? Like, there's no direct one way that tends to happen. And I think that appeal is quite powerful when you finally get into a class and see the kids and see them engage in your lesson. And it's pretty addicting.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be honest, like when I switched my major, one of my thoughts in the back of my mind was, if I don't like teaching, at least I'll have the summers off to like figure out what I really want to do. So I'm glad that that wasn't the case. I'm glad that I really do like teaching, but it is nice to have that school schedule as well. I think it's really healthy.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that, being able to switch between some different projects, and that's really appropriate for you because you're running a really innovative website at the moment. Over at, where's the website?
PEspecialist.com.
Yeah, so you're running a website there, and the fact that we have these opportunities as our teachers, schedule, you get a chance to produce resources that then go on and benefit people. So what are some of the hot items on that site that people could find useful?
Like you said, Conflict Corner, that's probably one of the most shared things I have. And then there's a lot of game videos. Like, I think one of the things that I tried to do that I hadn't seen a lot of people do was just GoPro myself teaching, because I feel like one of the best things I get from conferences and things like that is just the little nuanced things that people do when they're teaching that they probably wouldn't even notice, but you just pick up on the way they say things or the way they kind of do their management. And so that's the way that I share games on my site, is I just put a GoPro on a tripod and then like clip together me like doing the different tasks or the games and things like that. So I've got some good feedback on that, and then I just have little downloadable, posters and little systems that can help people save a little time if it works for them.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll have all the links to the website in the show notes over at thepeergeek.com/74 for episode 74. But I do encourage you to head over there and download some of the available resources. Now, you mentioned a GoPro as being a tool that you've used to capture your teaching and then, be able to review that. Has tech played a role in your classes over the last few years?
Yeah, for sure. And I could talk about, there's like tons of little apps that you can use, and you've talked about them before on your website. One of the biggest things I use is the Google Drive suite. Just like Google Drive is my best friend.
Same.
It's I use Google Photos. This year's the first year I've really, really taken advantage of Google Photos. And what I do with that is, if you're not familiar with it, if you have Google Gmail, then you have a Google Photos account, and you can download the app on your device, and it backs up every picture and video that you take totally free to the cloud. And so one thing that I do with Google Photos is once a week I try to put my iPad and a GoPro on a tripod, and I just record with both of them. And then since it's on my iPad, it backs up the Google Photos, and then I just have a log of like every lesson that I've taught over the whole year, and I just organize those in little folders at the end of each week, so that at the end of the year, when I'm teaching that again the next year, I can go back and kind of review it. And it's just a great way to reflect. And when you're thinking about like, how did I set that game up last time? Like, I can't remember. Oh yeah, I have a panoramic of my setup on my Google Drive. It's a really helpful tool.
Yeah, excellent. So that, I mean, that's a great way to capture what's happening in a class, isn't it? Because I think a lot of the time we try and remember things like this, but we've only got a limited capacity for that. And being able to store it somehow so we can reflect on it or see it again next year, I think would be quite powerful. So aside from those things, is there any other sort of tools that you live with? I mean, Google Drive is a big staple of mine, and but there are all these other little things that, like you mentioned, we could talk about. But what about other essential ones for you that you've found to be quite useful?
So right after I started the website, I got a TV, like a big flat screen on my wall,
Amazing.
and that was big thanks to you, because I read your big screen TV posts and then used all that info to kind of submit to my administration to get approval for that. And that's pretty much like been a big avenue for me to
For sure.
bring tech in.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I don't really like to rely on internet. So what I do normally is just download the videos that I'm going to use for the lesson, and I put them on a USB drive, and then I plug those into my DVD player, which is hooked up to my TV. Mm-hmm. And then it's like 2 seconds, I turn it on, and the videos are all in different folders. And yeah. So I don't ever have to worry about internet, which is really nice.
For sure. And that's a common reason, like, why a lot of people sort of get stuck in this practice of, you know, not having reliable internet. And there are ways around it, like you mentioned. So I'd imagine that that screen becomes a focal point for, like, teaching cues, like any classroom. You know, most teachers, like your maths English teachers, they've probably got some sort of projector screen to share stuff. So I think that phys ed can benefit as much, if not even maybe more, when they include things like a big screen in their practice, for sure. So, you know, what like videos and like any other apps that you might share with the big screen?
Sometimes I'll do Team Shake and throw the teams up. I have Apple TV, so I can mirror it if the Wi-Fi is working.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Now that I got the new iPad, so I can actually do it with Bluetooth now, so I don't even have to worry about the wireless or the Apple TV either, which is really nice.
Yeah, so that's such an exciting way to generate teams, though, isn't it? Because everyone's watching it, and they get to see it in real time, and, you know, it looks like it's done fair, and they shake the device, and the teams are made, and then all of a sudden they can, you know, generate and get active, I think, a little bit quicker than previous methods of picking.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is, for sure. So, I mean, along the way, using tech, there's obviously got to be a few little mistakes and issues that have been made. What do you think they might be for you? Has anything ever come up that sort of sidetracked a lesson?
Yeah, I have had the internet go out on me, and that is why I've kind of switched to downloading everything, because when you have a lesson that's totally based on having internet access and it goes out, then you're just like, oh man, like, it's not that you can't continue the lesson, because hopefully as teachers we're all capable of being flexible, and you need to always have that plan B just in case, but it's too easy to have a lesson that doesn't depend on the internet. So I usually just go that way, and the reason that I've done that is because of the failures I've had when either the district filters messed up and it won't let me get on YouTube, or the total Wi-Fi is just totally gone. One thing that this is like very, very like low tech, but one thing I've tried to do the last couple years is make really, really good notes to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I like do my curriculum and plan my lessons is I just have a Google Drive folder where I have my Google Docs, and it's like week one, week two, all the way down to week 38. And then I have the plan, but then, as I'm sure like many teachers out there, like, you have your plan, and then like you actually get the class in there and you get everybody set up, and you realize it's not going to work, so you have to like totally change the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I would have not done a very good job going back and like refining those plans in my Google Drive, because it's like, once you've taught it, you don't really need to go back and do that.
Yeah.
But then the next year, when you're like back in that same content, it's so helpful if you actually like take the time to go back, make the notes on what you did, and just think about your future self and how much you're going to appreciate it when you like print off that document next year and you realize all the things that you wrote down. So another thing about that is like putting the panoramic of my setup. Like, yeah, I was saying, the Google Photos thing, like sometimes I'll drop that into the Google Doc, and then the next year when I have that page and it has like a picture of my gym with the exact setup, it's just so nice. I'm like, thanks, last year, Ben Landers. Appreciate that.
And there's other flow-on benefits too. Like, in case you had to leave some material for, you know, another teacher, you'd probably have access to something that you could use to give to them much quicker if you had to, you know, disappear for a week or so. It's not just in the immediate for you, but there's a lot of other reasons why that sort of approach would be useful. So what does the future hold for yourself in terms of you know, the things that are happening at your school, as well as the future of your website? What, you know, anything that's happening in the background that you're excited about?
For myself, I'm just trying to continue to be the best teacher I can be and the best dad and husband that I can be. And part of that is the website. You know, the last couple of years have just been incredible. I feel like I hadn't ever really seen the power of the internet until I started the blog.
Yeah.
And just being able to, and honestly, that conference that we met at was a really big light bulb for me, because I got to meet you, I got to meet Joey and Nathan and Andy Vasily and all these guys that I had been following for, you know, a couple of years online. And then, like, I was just like, wow, these guys are just like normal guys that work really hard at putting stuff out there. And so that was a big moment for me to be like, I think I can actually do a blog too. And I have some good ideas. Maybe people would want to read those. And so seeing the power of like this podcast that you and me are going to spend, you know, 30 minutes talking, and then you're going to spend some time, you know, uploading it and all that. But then thousands and thousands of people could actually sit and listen to this. I mean, that's like sitting down and thinking about the power of the internet and how we can put information into the world is just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, I just am so fond of the internet for a medium. It's, you know, potential is great. It brings the cost of education down for many people to zero. And, you know, sometimes we take it for granted. You know, when I was in Kenya earlier in the year and talking with someone who had, you know, he was my tour guide, he really never had an education growing up, but because of his smartphone and because of the ability to get access to the internet, his kids were learning English, mathematics. So not just learning a foreign language, but they were learning mathematics in that foreign language. And they were doing it all from their, you know, their tiny house in Kenya. And I think that's just phenomenally sort of speaks to how powerful this stuff can be, for sure.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It really is. And you know, if you're listening and you think, you know, I've got an idea for a blog and I don't know where to start, then there's a lot of different ways. And the way I started is just to head to WordPress.com and start writing. And I wasn't writing for anyone but me in the beginning. And if I head back there now, it looks pretty amateurist, you know, and it wasn't all that helpful to anyone, but it was helpful to me. It helped me think about my lessons and, you know, what I was doing. And if that's what you get from it, then I think that's absolutely worthwhile. And if you end up doing a website like the PE Specialist and start producing valuable content for others, then, you know, that's great as well. So I want to thank you for stopping by, Ben, and sharing some awesome insight into how tech fits into your class. But also, we went a bit deeper than that on how you can sort of contribute to the phys ed world that we are all part of.
Man, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Speak soon, mate.
Will do.